chapter 27, verse 1. Is it working? Okay. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, "As God lives, who has taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who has vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast, and I will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. Let my enemy be as the wicked, and he that rises up against me as the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained when God takes away his soul? Will God hear his cry when trouble comes upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God? I will teach you by the hand of God. That which is with the Almighty will I not conceal. Behold, all ye yourselves have seen it. Why then are you thus altogether vain? This is the portion of the wicked man with God, and the heritage of the oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty. If his children be multiplied, it is for the sword, and his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. Those that remain of him shall be buried in death, and his widows shall not weep. Though he heap up silver as the dust, and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. He builds his house as a moth, and as a booth that the keeper makes. The rich man shall lie down, but he shall not be gathered. He opens his eyes, and he is not. Terrors take hold on him as waters. A tempest steals him away in the night. The east wind carries him away, and he departs, and as a storm hurls him out of his place. For God shall cast upon him and not spare. He would fain flee out of his hand. Men shall clap their hands at him and shall hiss him out of his place." Okay? What's he trying to tell us now? This is about our life, correct? Job has been rebuked by his friends, right? And now Job's coming back and telling us something. He says he's continuing his parable, but in the last chapter we found out that Job was starting to grow up a little bit, wasn't he? He was starting to mature and know the things that God has put in his life. He's beginning to hear the voice of God and not listening to the voice of someone else. And that's what we all have to learn to do, isn't it? See, because we got all kinds of voices outside of us talking to us. We hear all kinds of voices in our head, but there's only one voice that will change what's going on, and that's the voice of God. Okay? But he said, moreover, he continued his parable. Literally, it's a metaphorical discourse. Okay? Now, again, what does Job's name mean? Hated and persecuted. So if you're doing this, serving and walking in God's life, guess what you're going to be? You're going to be hated and persecuted for no reason. Okay? We got to learn to know that's part of the walk. With no retaliation. Okay, it says, as God liveth, and that's not a correct rendering yet. It should say, the one true God, or the one true living God, has taken away my judgments. Boy, do you know what he said there? The one true God has taken away my judgment. That wasn't a bad thing he just told him. He just told him a great thing. God has removed my judgment. Now, he knew this. And he knew it not by listening to his friends talk to him and condemn him, but he learned it by listening to the voice within him. Okay? Because Jesus had not went to the cross on Calvary yet, had he? But he knew, as the book says, he was the lamb slain when? Before the foundation of the world. See, so it's something inherent in us we have to understand. Job knew this back then, before Jesus went to the cross. See, Job's the oldest book of the Bible. Chronologically, it's the oldest book before any of the other stuff was written. Okay? So Job knew this before then. Why? Because God had it written in his heart. It's in our hearts too if we'll pay attention and listen to it. But we've got to learn to hear the voice of God, not hear the voice of other people talking to us. See, we can't have people in respect of persons. We've got to honor all people. Because, you know, somebody, some hobo on the street could have the truth of God that could set you free. Very much so. Could be very much free, more than the millionaires sitting in their big castles. You got to watch what you're doing. Okay? And the Almighty did what? Vexed my soul. He took away my judgment, but he vexed my soul. Literally, the word vexed is not correct, because the word vexed literally means embittered. He embittered my what? He embittered my soul. Soul is a combination of two things, true or false. It's flesh and spirit mixed together, became a living soul in Genesis. Okay? 2:7. Okay. So we have a mixture thing here, and that embitters us. Anytime you have two options, you're going to have a turmoil. Remember what we talked earlier about making decisions as kings and priests? When you have a decision to make and you've got more than one option, you've got pressure. If you've only got one option, would there be any struggle? But when there's multiple choices, that's when it gets tougher. Which one is right? We have to hear the right voice. That's all there is to it. There's God's choice and our choice all the time. And he always gets both of them out there for us. But if we listen to his voice, we don't have to worry about it. Vexed should be embittered. E-M-B-I-T-T-E-R-E-D. Embittered. Okay? All the while, my breath is in me. The word breath should be spirit. Okay? They're synonymous words anyway, but he said, all the while my spirit is in me, the Spirit of God, the word and isn't there, it's an added word. All the while my spirit is in me, the Spirit of God, and see, he relates the spirit in me to the Spirit of God. So he's saying my spirit is the Spirit of God. And is that not the truth? See, if we realize that the spirit within each one of us is the Spirit of God, how are we going to react? We act like him because he is my source of all things. But as long as I think that the spirit in me is just me, then I am my own God. See, there's where humanistic views come from, because we think we're separate from God. We're not the same. But if we came from God, then we have to be just like him, don't we? But our understanding is not like that, because we're drawn from that tree of knowledge of good and evil. If we get away from that tree, we'll be okay. He said, while the spirit of the one true God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Do you know what Job just said there when he said, I will not speak, let me say it again. Well, I will not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. What did he say? Thank you. Beautiful word. I will not compromise. I will not compromise my walk with God. That's a word every true believer, every true full-blooded son of God should have instilled in their hearts. I will not compromise. The sad thing is a lot of the cults have that. They have it more than the ones that say they're sons of God. We should be uncompromising in the truth. I'll compromise and try to get along with everybody, but I will not compromise the truth of God or my walk in life. Because there's nothing in this life worth compromising for. For a few minutes of relief or something, or peace or something like that, it's not worth it. Okay? God forbid, those words are not in the scriptures. Those words, it should say, far be it from me. Far be it from me. What's it, New King? New King James says the same way? Okay. Far be it from me is what it should say. Far be it from me that I should justify you. Who's he talking to? His friends. Okay. We could put them friends being right into your carnal mind. See? Far be it from me to justify you. I'm not going to justify myself just to make it easier on me. See, there's the compromise. I can't compromise. When I first started this walk with God, when I realized I was walking with God, I used another analogy. I said, like, I'm built like a racing motorcycle. Racing motorcycles are built in a real unique way. It's all about weight versus horsepower, and that equals speed. So they take even a gear out of the transmission called reverse. There's no reverse in them because you can't win races going backwards. So they take the gear out. And I use that analogy in my life early on that I can't go backwards. There's no reverse in me. I can't get that direction. I've got to keep right on going. There's no choice. God's made a choice, and that's the end of it, and I got to go. So that's the way we are, okay? But far be it from me that I would justify you or myself. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. He said, go ahead and kill me. You're still not going to take my integrity. I can go to the grave with my integrity, but I will not give it up for this soulless life. And see, that's something that's got to be in us. I know when I first started in church, a lot of people said, well, I'm not really concerned about it because I'm just going to wait till it gets close to dying, and then I'll just ask God to save me, and that'll be all I have to worry about. Yeah. It's not an instant process, is it? Something that takes time. Something that takes time. And they have no integrity anyway, anyone say something like that. Verse 6, he goes on and says, my righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach as so long as I live, or literally it should say this, my heart shall not reproach any of my days. He's saying, my heart, my thinking process will never reproach me any of the days of my life because my thinking process, my heart is the heart of who? He already said the spirit within me is the spirit of God. See? So he's saying, hey, this spirit in me will never condemn me. There is no condemnation in Christ, is there? So when I realize what's in me is God, God will not condemn me. If anything condemns me for anything, any reason, it cannot be God. It cannot be God. See? And that's where the church teaches multiple ideas. You know, it's duality because they'll say, there's no condemnation in Christ, but then they'll turn around and condemn you themselves. And if you do anything wrong, God's going to get you. Well, that's condemnation. The duality is very prevalent in a human mind. Oh, actions are louder than their words, isn't it? Verse 7, it says, my adversary exists wicked. Not my enemy be as the wicked. No, it says, my adversary exists wicked. And he raised up evil. He was raised up evil. My adversary was raised up evil. What does that make you think of? The devil, John 8:44, he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He was raised up evil. This carnal thinking process was never right, never can be right. It's an impossibility. John 8:44. You're of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. Okay. He's a father of lies, and he's a murderer from the beginning. There's a couple things about him there, but... Okay. Verse 8, because what is the hope of the hypocrite? When he has plundered... Because what is the hope of the hypocrite... when he has plundered, when God removes his soul by death, it says. Should say, when he removes it by death. Okay? What's the hope of the hypocrite when God separates his soul in death? You have nothing left, do you? You only have material things. Even though you've plundered everything. So the church world, as much as they are doing it and gathering up and heaping up wealth and riches, what good's it going to do them? Nothing. Okay? The dust goes back to the dust. Verse 9 goes on to say, will God hear his cry when what? Trouble comes upon him. It's the word Sarah. Kind of like the name Sarah. And you know what it means? Female rival. Female trouble. Now it's talking about the trouble we have. Not anything physical, but it's talking about the soulish, the female side being soulish. See, all my trouble comes from my double-mindedness. Would you agree to that? Everything that comes in my life or your life is because of my double-mindedness or your double-mindedness. I still have the soulish emotions there. Okay? I still have the soulish emotions, and I need to get rid of that. I have emotions, but they can't control me. Okay? Verse 10. Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Well, literally it says, will he take delight in the Almighty? Will the hypocrite take delight in the Almighty? He's asking questions here. And if you look at the questions, there's actually five questions he asks there. What's the hope of the hypocrite? Will God hear when he cries out in trouble? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God? And then why then are you all together in vain? He's asked five questions here about the hypocrite or the person who's thinking they're religious but they're not. Okay? Verse 10 says, will he take delight in the Almighty? The Living Bible says it very well. I'm not going to read it. You can go look at it sometime when you get a chance. The Living Bible says it very well, verse 10. Will he always call upon God, or will he call on God upon God at all times? Think the hypocrite will call upon God at all times? I'm going to tell you what the hypocrite does. The only time the hypocrite calls on God is when he's in trouble. Been there. I've been guilty of it. Every one of us has been guilty of it. We get in a bad situation. Oh, God. I used to make fun of people when I was in Vietnam because these people said they were atheists or agnostics and stuff like that. And I didn't know what all that stuff was at the time. But they said they didn't believe in God. But immediately when the rockets and mortars come raining in on top of us was, oh, God, save me. And I knew what a hypocrite was. So I told them, I said, y'all a bunch of hypocrites. And I'd laugh and make fun of them. I was just as scared as they was, but I didn't say there wasn't no God. They were lying. They're trying to be the tough people. There are a lot of people like that today. Verse 11, I will teach you by the hand of God. Hello. How's he going to teach you? Through his lifestyle, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, the fivefold ministry of Ephesians 4 and 11. Okay, there's a hand ministry, they call it, okay? And I don't think that there's people running around that's just apostles, just prophets, just evangelists, just pastors, just teachers. I think there's men and women of God who function in all five of those positions at any time God wants them to. Okay? They're a man or woman of God, they're children of God, they're sons of God, they're mature sons of God. And when God wants them to prophesy, they can. If he wants them to teach, they can teach. If he wants them to pastor, they'll pastor. If he wants them to prophesy, they'll prophesy. Whatever they need, he can do it. He can do it in anything. I don't believe God's into this specialty thing. I think it's one person, see, one person with these multiple gifts as God. And the gifts are given as the Spirit desires, not as what we desire. It's when God wants it, that's when you'll do it under his direction. Okay? Huh? Oh, okay. That which is with or from, it should be from the Almighty, will I not conceal. He said, I'm not hiding anything. Didn't Paul say that in Acts chapter 20? I have not shunned to declare the whole gospel of God unto you. That's something that rang in my spirit years ago. I cannot choose to hold back a truth out of the Scriptures. If God shows it to me and does not tell me to hold it back, I will not hold it back. See, because the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll divide and separate the soulish from the spiritual. It'll do the job. It's not up to me to make that decision about who should hear it and who should not hear it. Because the same Word of God that brings life can also bring death. That's not my call, is it? That's up to the Word of God. Just like the flood that came upon the earth in the days of Noah. The same flood, which was the Word of God, the water, killed the majority of the people, didn't it? But it also says the water, they were saved by water in Peter, didn't it? The water raised them above the flood in that ark in the presence of God. See? So it's the same thing. It's not my call. All I'll do is say whatever God tells me to say. And there was a couple came here years ago, way back right after we first got started, and they came here and they'd been with us for just a few days or a week or so, something like that. And they were here constantly every day, you know, just trying to get more and trying to get more and trying to get more. And after we had the meeting and I'd taught for about an hour and a half or something like that, I said, I'll quit here and wait until next week and we'll finish this. They said, no, don't stop now. And I went ahead and taught for another hour. So it went over 2 hours. And when I got done teaching, they hung around for a couple hours, and then we went out to eat, and they was with us for another 4 or 5 hours, and we was on the way to town, or coming back one, was in the vehicle riding, and the woman said, "We don't want to wear out our welcome here," and I said, you're not. I said, you know, as God gives us something to feed somebody, it feeds us at the same time. As I'm giving, I'm receiving from God, and it multiplies it. And the man says, "Hey, I understand what you're saying. I know why God chose you." And I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because you're crazy enough to say anything he tells you." And I said, "I'll take that as a compliment." He said, "That was meant as a compliment." He said, "You're not afraid to say whatever God has to say." And I said, "I'm not. If he gives it to me to say, why would I be afraid of anything anybody could do to me? If God told me to do it, doesn't that sound foolish? If I trust God, I don't have to worry about anything." Okay? Okay, we're in verse 11, 12. "Behold, all have seen." When it says "ye yourselves," that's not there. And the word "it's" not there after "seen." It should say, "Behold, all have seen." If you read in Romans, chapter 1, it says, nobody can deny it because it's been revealed to the whole creation. Whole creation. Okay? So no one can deny anything. Okay? "Why then are you thus altogether" what? Not vain. The word literally should say "led astray." He said, if you believe this, why are you led astray? If you have been shown all these things, if you have all seen it, then why are you doing following the wrong path? That's what Job's asking. If God said go straight ahead, what are you going backwards for? If he said go east, why are you going west? Don't make sense, does it? He said, if you've seen this, why are you being led astray? You already know these things. But see, some people can't say no to themselves. We need to learn to be able to say no. It's called discipline. Verse 13, he goes on and says this. "This is the portion of a wicked Adamic person," okay, with God. It's not about the person himself. It's about their thinking process. "And the heritage or the portion of the ruthless, which they shall receive from the Almighty." Now this is what the wicked or the ruthless are going to receive, okay, from God, from the Almighty. Starting in verse 14. If his sons are multiplied, it'll be for the sword. Okay? So if he has sons and daughters, what's going to happen to them? They're going to die. "Whatever I produce in my life is going to die if I live the wicked lifestyle. If I choose that fork in the road to go to the left or the right instead of going straight ahead, then I'm going to reap what I sowed. My sons and daughters will die for it." Not literal sons and daughters, but because of the things I create in my life. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You can't speak this truth from anything except experience. God has to let you walk through being a hypocrite so you know what a hypocrite is. He lets you walk through being a drunk because now you'll know what a drunk is. Or a drug addict, or a liar, or a thief, or a person that hates, or has revenge, or a bigot, or whatever these things are. If you don't experience them, you'll never know what they are. You can just read it in a book and that's the end of it. See, and that's not true, because it's about experiencing these things. What did King Solomon say in his message in Ecclesiastes? "I've done everything, and it's all vanity." See, if he never experienced that, how could he write it? He can't say, "Well, my dad told me that was all bad stuff." How many people would believe it if your dad told you? None of us. None of us believed our natural fathers, did we? That we have to go out and experience life ourselves, and that's what God meant us to do, but the church world has tried to intervene and say, "I did it, but you're not allowed to." You hear me what I'm saying? That's exactly what they're saying. Every one of the church folk, they got out there drinking and cussing and smoking and carousing and running around doing all their things, and then as soon as they get holy and righteous, now you're not allowed to. Okay? His children, if they're multiplied, they're for the sword, and his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread or food. Okay? Never going to be satisfied. Okay? Those that remain of him shall be buried in death, and his widows shall not weep. Okay. What do you think that's saying? I got the Living Bible right here. Let me read it. Oh, that's it right here. Well, the Living Bible you got up? Just a second. I've got it here. I'm Job already. Just take me a second. I should have already had it turned there, but I didn't. These pages are tough to turn. Okay. 27, verse 15, right? Those who survive shall be brought down to the grave by disease and plague, with no one to mourn them, not even their wives. So he's saying they're going to be brought down regardless of what they think. They think everybody loves them, but the hypocrite's not even going to be loved or recognized. See? Well, you know what? When I died to myself, I don't care about being recognized anymore. Do you? I don't really care about it. It doesn't make any difference if Dave's famous, because Dave's never going to be famous. Maybe infamous. You know, I have that reputation probably all over, but that's okay. I know it's not true, but that's what people say. I'm not concerned about it. Jesus always tried to be low-key. He never tried to draw attention to himself, did he? Every time he'd done some great piece of work for God, he said, shh. Don't tell nobody. Just be quiet about it. See? Just be quiet. Though he heap up money as the dust and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the money. There's a scripture in the Proverbs that says, the wealth of the wicked is heaped up for the righteous. Okay? I heard a guy say one time he was in an airport, and there was a guy come out, we just screaming, I got to have a cab, I got to get a cab, I'm losing money, my God, my business, I got to go, blah, blah, blah. And the man was standing there with the cab door open to get in, he just stepped back and said, take my cab. And he said, why? He says, just take the cab. And when the guy took the cab, with many people lined up waiting for cabs, and the guy says to him, next guy says, well, why did you do that for? And he said, well, he's working for me. And he said, do you know him? He said, nope, he works for me. He said, because the scripture says the wealth of the wicked is heaped up for the righteous, so I don't want him to lose anything. Keep making it. You know, I'll get it someday. So just keep on working. It's just kind of a little joke thing, but it's the truth. You know, they can labor all they want, but it's only for God's people. Okay? Okay. Verse 18. He builds his house as a moth and as a booth that the guard keeps. Okay? Now, what is that trying to tell you? He builds his house as a moth. What would it tell you? Okay. Let me say it another thought process. It's something temporary. Okay? A moth builds a temporary cocoon around themselves. It's only temporary. And as a booth that the keeper, the guard, watches. And see, even a guard is only temporary. The guards don't stay on duty 24/7. They're all temporary. So I think he's pointing to us that they protect themselves, but it's only temporary. You can't protect yourself. Yourself, you can't protect. You have to let God do it. He's our high tower, and we should run into him, shouldn't we? Okay? Don't try to protect yourself. Let God take care of it. The rich man shall lie down, but he shall not be gathered. He opens his eyes and he is not. Well, it's over. He's got nothing left. There's no the wicked have no renown. The wealthy have nothing after this life. Terrors take hold on him as waters or as a flood. How terrible would it be to be in a flood when you're cast? Well, you've seen people washed away in floods. How terrible would that be? What kind of fear would be in their minds when these things come upon them? You think really that the terrors he's talking about of a natural flood? It's the thoughts of your mind. I mean, that's where all the terror is. That's where hell is. It's between our ears. When all these bad things are happening, what's going on in our head? I mean, man, that is tremendous. Every one of us can say we have been in hell in our minds. We've went through some circumstance that was just so totally frustrating, we'd almost wish death upon ourselves or everybody that was bringing the hell on us. Okay? That's what he's talking about here. That's the flood. A tempest, or literally a hurricane, carries him away in the night. A hurricane. We did sleep through one hurricane, didn't we? I forgot about that. I slept right through it. Didn't even know it hit. I was tired. I drove for about 17 hours. I was tired. Worked all day. Huh? Getting comfortable in my speech, so I got to talk up. Okay. But I had a long drive and a hard day before that, and then a 17-hour drive, and I slept through a hurricane. But so there wasn't any terror in that one to me. I was at peace. If I'd have known it was there, I might have thought something different, but didn't know. And in the middle of the night, what's it telling you? As long as I'm in ignorance, I'm susceptible to the terrors of the nights of the storms. True? But whenever I become enlightened, or you become enlightened, no longer do these terrors of the world, of the situations of the mind, none of that stuff has any effect on you anymore. You can just look at it and just smile and say, okay, so what? You know, what part of this life is not part of life? All of it's part of life, isn't it? And Jesus said, don't take them out of the world, Father, but protect them in the world. What did he say in, was it John 15 or 16? He said, in the world you shall have 1630, in the world you shall have tribulation, pressures. See, we're going to have it. There's no way around it. You can't get around it, period. You're going to have it. The east wind carries him away and he departs in fear. It says, as a storm hurls him, is not correct. It should say, in fear, out of his, it carries him away and he departs in fear from his place. He departs in fear from his place. If you get picked up by a hurricane or a tornado and get blown away, what's in your mind now? Fear. So all these storms and troubles of life come in your life. What are you in? Fear is the foundation of destruction. It's the foundation of destruction. If you're not afraid, what's going to bother you? But if you're in fear, you're susceptible to anything coming down the road. Anything and everything. But fear is that foundation on the negative side of destruction. If I'm afraid of anything, I guarantee you. Remember what Job said at the beginning of this book? What I feared has come upon me. The very thing he thought would get him, got him. See? It's the same with all of us. One of us might be afraid of water. Well, you know what? You're going to be put in that situation to where you're not afraid of that water no more. And even the secular world's come up now and say, don't avoid water when you're afraid of it. Get in it. You're afraid of heights. Don't stay away from heights. Get in the heights. And that'll cure you. Well, when you realize it's not going to hurt you. And the only way you're going to get that truth in your mind is experience. Go through the heights and you're not afraid no more. Go through the water and it don't hurt me anymore. See? That's how you get away from it, by experiencing those things. You can't get it. You're going to carry it all your life unless you deal with it. And you got to experience it to do it. Verse 22, because God, that word God is not even in there. That's an added word. Don't belong there. It should be, because it shall hurl him and not spare. Who is the it? What is the it? The fear from the verse before. Fear is what we're talking about, not God. And doesn't Timothy say, God has not given us a spirit of fear? Right? The power of love and a sound mind. This should say right here, because it hurled him, and it will hurl him and not spare, and he would surely try to flee out of its power because of the fear. He's going to try to run from it because of the fear. And then it goes on, and we're still talking about the hypocrite, aren't we? The wicked man. In verse 23 he says, men shall clap their hands at him and shall scorn him out of his place. That's mock and ridicule because of fear. Even as kids, how many of us have seen other kids bully other kids with fear? It's a natural instinct in us. If the natural man has, that's one of the ites in the seven ites in the land. It's one of them that's in there. And if we let that thing start, we had a discussion with our daughter one time about one of these Halloween things. They go like these haunted fields and they scare people. They jump out and they have guns, shoot blanks, and they have chainsaws that run with no chain on them, but they scare kids, plumb scare them, plumb silly, you know. Do you realize how much that is feeding that spirit of fear in someone? And you could mess them up for life. I never was one to get into that stuff, you know. It just didn't work for me to hurt somebody. As a child, I was hurt and tormented and mistreated a lot. And that's okay. It made me who I am. But I don't like it. And I never let our children torment other kids. I would let them defend themselves. If somebody needed a poke in the eye, then and defend yourself, you know. But I never let them torment someone. I never would let them call people names, and never let nobody in my home do it. And I had troubles in my family at one time because I wouldn't let my family come to my house. Their children were calling people names. I said, that's once, and if it happens again, there's the door. Don't care what anybody thinks about it. Nobody degrades somebody in my home. And that was when I was pure heathen as I could get, because I'd already experienced what that does to people. I knew what it felt like. So I don't want nobody else to have to feel that kind of pain and suffering, what you go through. Okay? So I just don't permit it. Okay? We'll stop there for the day.